Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation, a superhenge found on September 11th. I'll explain. Also, the anti-Iran protests, were they too little too late? Because nothing really changed. Also, my thoughts on Stephen Colbert as he starts the late night and becomes one of the new faces of late night TV. Also, standing by cops as they fill patrol cars, making headlines and front page news, that should be a given. Not that we should ever have a day where you have to protect a police officer as a citizen, but that should be second nature. Also, one step forward and two steps back, as it seems like there are still giant stigmas surrounding cannabis, as patients are having their doors busted down with all of their papers and everything. I'll explain about that. And also, the upcoming Rugby World Cup, my thoughts on that and some issues, and the English Premier League had the weekend off, so welcome to the program. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I just want to take a moment and give silence to all those people that we lost on 9/11. Thank you and welcome to the program. I think one of the hardest things for me, because I lost a friend on 9/11, was when they said a couple years ago that if you're a kindergartner and when 9/11 happened, you're graduating high school, and it's just hard to believe how time flies, and it's just crazy, you know. I mean, we cannot forget what happened, you know. We can't. I mean, that day, I still remember that day like it was yesterday. And I'm like, yes, sir, Die Hard 5 or 4, whatever they were. I'm like, because the first one had a tall building. The second one was at an airport. And I'm like, you know, airplane. And I remember I had a ton of caterings to do. And I'm like, all right. And I shut off the TV and I went to lie back down. And I no more lie down. And my mom calls and she goes, you need to turn on the TV right now. A plane went into the Twin Tower. They don't know if it was an accident or what. And about that time, like 5 minutes later, a second plane hit, and then we knew. And wow. But as we move on here, this is something that's really, because I'm always into this stuff. As I talked about in the beginning of the program, they found a superhenge. And what that means is, if you ever heard of Stonehenge in England, they found one that's supposed to be 5 times bigger than Stonehenge, with 90 stones that are, like, the average one is said they believe to be 15 feet tall, where Stonehenge are like 13 feet. Because I got into it with someone, because they're like, well, so you don't believe that man can create all this stuff? And you got into it, because I love that, like, Ancient Aliens show, and I'm really fascinated by this stuff. I'm like, well, think about this. Okay, if you go by what the Egyptians, people from Egypt claim, that giant pyramid in Giza took 22 years to make, what that would state is they would have had to have taken a raw stone, cut and shaped and formed, and put that into place every 9 seconds there had to have done one stone. You know, so there are monuments around the world that how did these stones that weigh the equivalent of 7 semis get on the side of this mountain, like 6 of them? They've asked, like, people that move, like, big rocks and stones for a living. You know, I can kind of see how you can probably do it with cranes and stuff now. They wouldn't have had that back then. There are actual stones that have evidence of vitrification, which could not be produced by just modern flames. You would need very, very intense heat. But these stones are, like, almost, like, welded together from, you know, and they believe it to be about 4,000 to 5,000 years old. It's 5 times larger, the area is, than Stonehenge. They believe it has 90 standing stones, where Stonehenge has merely 15, and they believe them to be 15 feet, is what they believe these things to be tall. And it's about 2 miles away from the actual original Stonehenge. They still don't know there's not really evidence of what Stonehenge was designed for. There's some that if you look at stones around Stonehenge that they believe it was marking the planets. Because if you ever go up to New Mexico out in the, like at night, what will you find out when you go up there? When you're up at like 12,000 feet, you can see a lot of stars and a lot of things that you normally don't see because of city lights. You know, people take for granted being able to look into the sky. They didn't have navigation like we did. They didn't have lights like we did. It's amazing when it's up like in Nova Scotia, Canada, what you can see when you're in like areas where there's like no lights at all, like no power. It's amazing. And you can see the stars come out like boom, like 10 times brighter. And some people believe it's like a celestial calendar. They need it, okay, like this is when the sun goes down here, you know, it's the fall equinox or whatever. And they don't know if they were carved. They believe they're carved out of the same stone, Searson stones. It's a sandstone block that's found in large quantities, but they're still really, it's just amazing. Like, what else is on that is yet to be unearthed that we haven't found? Because, like, if you ever, especially, like, in some islands and stuff, they'll say, okay, well, we were looking for this person that they believe was kidnapped here and buried here, and to get to where the grounds would have been in 1930, they have to go down like 10 feet or whatever, you know, to get to where they believe the sediment, where it would have been, you know, at that year. And it's just, you know, just need to see this huge, huge Stonehenge. And it's going to be neat when they actually go to dig up and, you know, dig around it and see these massive monuments and see, you know, Stonehenge and this new Superhenge, and to see, you know, if they can learn anything from that can help them with actually Stonehenge or vice versa, or if it's just going to be one of these where there's going to be more questions than answers, you know. I'm just really fascinated by something like that, and I just, you know, because I just wanted to bring that up, because I don't know, to me it's just really interesting. Like, if you look at the Nazca lines and how, like, they're like some of the mountains where it looks like somebody took a knife and just sheared off the top of them. But where's the stone? Where's all that rock? Where'd all that rock go? You know, when there's like a monkey carved into the landscape and it's been there for since it was made, and it looks like the top is sheared off of this mountain, but there's no rock anywhere. It just fascinates me, you know, that what's left on this earth that we haven't discovered. You know what I mean? Because we know more about the surface of the planet Mars than we do our own ocean floors. You know, it's just really neat. And I just, when I was reading about that, because I get emails and stuff on like new discoveries and stuff like that, and it seems like more and more you find stuff and just, okay, well, first we thought man was this old, now we find evidence of man being this old, and it's just really fascinating. It's something I think is cool. And I just wanted to share that with people, and it's just kind of really amazing, you know, something undiscovered on our own planet, you know, that just hopefully, I hope it gives us more answers than questions, so we're not more like, okay, well, yep, now we have, now we're totally lost why they built this and why they did that, or, you know, but it's pretty cool. And as we move on from the Superhinge, which I thought was a cool story, so I just wanted to share that with y'all. Was the Iran protests a day late and a dollar short? I think it was. But at least they're trying to do something. You know, but it's just, I don't know, I'm just, how, it seems like, okay, now we're more, we're dealing with more and more with, like, people that don't like us. Okay, no offense, but I just don't see how, it's like, these people that I grew up, like, seeing as enemies, now we're like, okay, well, we're going to buddy-buddy with them. Because from what I, because I read into some of this as Sarah wouldn't call it, it's a treaty. They have like 24 days they have to have notice before any inspections. You know, like I said, you know, okay, if there was nothing to hide in Iraq, the WMDs, the weapons of mass destruction, why were they taping the UN to know exactly where they were going and what they were going to inspect? Because they were moving stuff. You know, this is not going, this is, I'm sorry, man. They've got, we're going to kind of have a treaty and do stuff with the country, and nothing in there has anything about releasing hostages. They have four Americans being held hostage. And right there, I'm sorry, that's just not right. You know, when it, I wonder when we're going to start, like, easing up sanctions with North Korea. That's what I'm waiting for, because why not? What's the difference? They want us all dead. I mean, that's what I don't get, because when you look at a Muslim, they don't want to live side by side with a Christian. They don't. I mean, that's why, I mean, like, okay, let's, because I said, I have a friend of mine, the holy crap, she, like, I posted a thing about how Hillary Clinton, you know, was getting funding for her campaign from Muslim countries and stuff. And she actually commented that she couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. She doesn't trust her. I'm like, holy cow. But, okay, let's say Hillary Clinton, who's not, I mean, they don't really have, it's not, okay, if,
that's her hope.
Who? I mean, all they really have is Bernie Sanders, and I like him for one reason. Not just because he's one of the only people that can be, that's at least honest. And saying, yep, I'm a socialist, you know, where at least he's being honest that he is. Everyone else, no one else is saying they're honest. No one else, you know, I would respect Barack Obama if he said, yes, I want to have a more socialist society in America, because then he'd at least be truthful in what he's saying. Instead of, well, Joe, how you doing? Well, what I want to do, Joe the plumber, is I want to redistribute the wealth. I want to spread the wealth around. And, you know, we'll just say you're a socialist. I may not agree with you, and I may not want that, but I mean, it's because there are, I have heard where there are still people out there that it doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter what you say, what you show them. I'm voting for Hillary, period. Ain't nothing. You're never going to change my mind. I'm voting for Hillary. Done. It's over. I don't care. He ain't going to show me. I don't care. Whatever. I don't want to see a video of Hillary Clinton, you know, killing people. I don't care. If she pulled out her gun and killed 10 unarmed Americans, I don't want to see that. I'm voting for anything. I don't care. You know, not that she did that, but there are people like that. It wouldn't matter what you showed. And I guess I try to educate people. I don't care who you vote for. If you're a progressive, a conservative, a Democrat, I don't care. But when you have people that vote, I voted for Barack Obama. Well, who was his running mate? Was John McCain? Duh, hello. You know, I mean, you're just sexist because you didn't want Hillary, you didn't want, like, Sarah Palin as a running mate. You know, Sarah Palin is going to make a great vice president, you know. If you voted for Barack Obama, that's great, but as long as you knew, okay, yeah, his vice president was Joe Biden, and this is what he wanted. And that's the problem, you know. I want you to, if you vote Democrat, be educated. No. And there was actually somebody that said, well, how can Bernie Sanders run under the Democratic Party when he's a socialist? My wife's like, well, that's what the Democratic Party is. But they said this one time. They said a Republican now is what a Democrat was when Ronald Reagan was in office. And I believe that. But I wonder this, because I've heard this many times, and do people in Congress have something on, like, John Boehner and stuff? Because they always stand tough, like, oh, yeah, we need to do this, we need to do that. And as soon as they pass Obamacare, what's the lay of the land now? We just got to let it happen. It's like, do they have something that they're holding over their head? Like, hey, you try to get rid of this and try to do that, and hey, we're going to expose you. I just wonder. I mean, because as I kind of want to move on a little bit, we got a new face of late night. Stephen Colbert is on now. And I can tell you right now, one of his first guests was Jeb Bush. To me, that signaled, I don't think he's going to last. And I'll tell you why. Nothing against him. I even have a hard time watching him because I know how progressively liberal he is. If I want to watch a late night show, I want to watch something like a Conan or someone where I want to watch something to where I'm going to laugh. I'm going to have a good time, and they're going to make fun of anybody and everything. And not, you know, if Stephen Colbert does not take out a political agenda in the program, he's going to be done. Because people don't want to sit there and turn on and watch his Comedy Central, you know, Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart-y progressive agenda thing. I have nothing with Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert. People want to sit there and watch and laugh and have a good time and get away from all that. I mean, that's why I talk about so many things on my show, from my muscle issue to health to like the super hinge. And I'm going to update you on that as more evidence is uncovered and, you know, when they actually get to go ahead to excavate and all that. And that's going to take, because they have to go through all kinds of, depending exactly where it is, and is it on land, is it on public land, private land, with all the permits, you know. So, you know, I like to talk about a wide variety of things on our show. And, you know, and I hope that I don't care that Stephen Colbert's liberal. I could watch his show if it's going to be, like, politically neutral. Or he's going to make fun of Barack Obama just as much as he would Jeb Bush or Ted Cruz or Tom Cruise or whoever. Not that I could watch it, because I know he, I don't, you know, because he's already, I guess to me, he is like the Brady Bunch. He has already got, I've already got like, it's hard to see any one of those people as anything other than the Brady Bunch character. And to look at like Stephen Colbert, I just know he's very, 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 very liberal. And I don't see him ever finding a middle ground in doing what a Johnny Carson did. I don't know if you'll ever have a Johnny Carson on late night. I don't think so. I couldn't be wrong. I wish you could find someone. But I think those days are over. I think I'm going to try to find a way to get their view across, their opinion across. Enough said. I mean, I just wish they would get somebody in there that would just be like neutral on all fronts, you know, knowing where he's come from and what he's done. I'm not a big fan of his to begin with. Even if he was a conservative, I still really didn't care for the show. I watched it like once and I'm like, okay, I don't know what people see. As we move on, okay, there's been several stories in the news where like a kid stands outside by a cop as he pumps his gas, you know, and they go viral. And two things I'm going to comment on. It's sad that we have to get to an age where you have to sit there, okay, well, if a cop has somebody pulled over, I'm going to pull over by that cop and just make sure, you know, have his back as a citizen. I never thought I would see a day where a cop would have to have a citizen just to be there. I never thought I'd see a day where conceal and carry Americans would stand in front of a military thing and protect the military people. You know, the military are there to protect and serve. I never thought I'd see a day when we'd have to protect them. But it shouldn't be like front page news. That should be automatic. You should want to do that. You know? But then, if I'm not a drained lunatic, so I wouldn't know, but I would assume that if you were going to kill a cop, having someone in front, it'd just be an extra, I don't know what you call it, like twice the high, you know. Well, not only do I get the thrill of killing one person, I get two. I get a civilian and a cop. I wouldn't think that someone would say that's a deranged lunatic. Well, I was going to shoot that cop, and now if there's a kid there, I better not, you know. I could be wrong, but, I mean, it's like this past summer when there was a front page story because there was a photo that went viral because a couple prayed before their wedding. They did it so they couldn't see each other and they prayed. Me and my wife did, and I didn't realize it, but my mother-in-law was there praying with me, and that just was even, I was even more in tears than when I saw that she was there. And that should be a given, you know. That's how we, yeah. I mean, I had some of my friends, oh, it was so amazing that you guys did like you broke the bread and you drank the wine and all that. I'm like, well, you know, it's things that I guess I grew up on that are second nature to me. Now it's like front page news. I was reading an article about 6 months ago where I guess the wrestler, I think it was, yeah, the wrestler Goldberg left wrestling, and the fans wanted him back, so he came back for the fans and did it for a little while, and after it, he quit, and he was being interviewed, and he goes, well, you know, when I grew up, I would let my kids watch the pro wrestling I grew up on. I wouldn't let my kids near the pro wrestling that they have today when they have, like, women that are getting ready to wrestle and they got, like, a dress and they rip each other's dresses off and they're on nothing but, like, a bra and a string bikini and they're wrestling. You know, it's not the wrestling. This world has changed, some for the good and some for the bad. But, you know, I guess I just... There's so many things that you see that make front page news. I mean, I could see, you know, CBS doing a front page story on an officer that's been shot and a guy tends to his needs. You know, it should be common sense if a cop's down that you help him or vice versa, that they help you. You know, it should be common sense that you don't need to have a Veterans Day to thank the vet. You know, I mean, it's like, hello, I'm Dan Rather, and welcome to the CBS Evening News. Our top story, a person thanking a vet, and it wasn't even Veterans Day. You know, I mean, that's what we're, I mean, things that I would think should not be a front page story are becoming a front page story. I mean, when you have it was the Champaign-Urbana Illinois campus, where college ruled GOP students couldn't plant flags in the quadrant to remember 9/11 victims. And they said, because of all this rain and drainage and stuff, well, if you want to, you can put them in like a cup with sand and do all this crap. And finally, eventually, they got the university to agree. You know, and it shouldn't even have taken that. You know, it shouldn't even have gotten to that point to where they had to, okay, hey, we got, it shouldn't even get to the point where they have to, you know, have hundreds of people call saying, why can't we have American flags here? I mean, I don't get it. What do we get that this is, like, you have to fight to have an American flag shirt? They had a couple stories a while back ago where it's like, the American flag banned from school, but if you read the whole article, they banned every single solitary flag because they don't want to say, well, how can he have this flag if he can't have that flag, and how can he have, you know, an American flag should never be banned, period. I could see, okay, like an American and state flag, you know, but no other flags. I don't know how you can sit there and say, well, if we have to accept the American flag, we have to accept all these other flags. No, you don't. You know, a POW flag, sure. But this notion that, okay, well, here's an American flag. We're going to ban this. So I wonder if that school actually has an American flag hanging on the flagpole out front. I'm just wondering because the article, if you read it, it was about how these schools, that they ban every flag. And that's, some guy goes, well, yeah, well, the article is misleading because it's not like they allow certain flags, but they don't allow any flag because they don't want to have someone offended by, who knows.
My kid go to a school with an American flag.
Oh, I know. But, no offense, but, like, to the school systems, but I'd probably homeschool my kid. The way some of these, the schools are a, how do I say, it's, who knows? It doesn't matter how good you are, you know, if your uncle is the superintendent, you can be a teacher, no matter how smart, or you may not even have a teaching degree, whatever, I don't care. You know, you're going to be, just because he, you know, It's about who knows. It's not about the best person does the job. It's, hey, you wanna be the teacher, or you want this job or that job? Heck, you know, if you're schooling the right person, excuse my French, you can have a job where, you know, you could have a very excellent teacher and she can't find work because, you know, she's not playing the political game. It's just, it's sad, you know, how, but everyone just shuts their mouth because they want to keep their job. No one's willing to stand up and risk being blacklisted just because they just go along with the system. It's just, and that's why I try to educate people so that they understand what's going on. You know, I mean, like when you have school board meetings, you should be at those school board meetings. You should know what's going on. Like I've heard stories where kids want to bring their, like their books home for the, because I want, see my kid would not go to a school if I couldn't have like a history book to look it over to see what they're teaching my son. If they wouldn't let him, you know, I want to see the curriculum, what you're teaching. Because I've heard like teachers that have come forward where they have to spend like they spend a month where the kids have to act like it's Sharia law, where the boys act like they would and the women have to act like they do and, you know, and all this. And if I couldn't know what my, like, I want to see the book to know what my son's being taught, I would not go to that school. And there's people that have tried to get the information, you know, like, what do you teach my, I can't hand that out. I'm like, well, then that's your problem if you keep your son in that school, if they won't let you know what your son is being taught. You know? It's just, I don't know. I guess my whole point in this kind of rant is you got to wake up. How can stories that seem to be like front page, I guess half these stories that seem to make front page news, that shouldn't be news. I mean, praying before a wedding, holy cow, that should be common sense. But, you know, I could see if, you know, like if, like a cop's under like fire, you know, and there's like 10 guys shooting at one cop and someone goes with a gun and tries to help the officer or something way out of, you know, ordinary, okay. But when it's just like, I mean, you should, I mean, how hard, it's, but I guess it's in a way sad that you have to have people that will stand in front of a, like a recruitment center with armed guns. Okay, I should feel like, okay, I'm going in that recruiting center, I should know that those guys have my back, not the other way around. Not that I wouldn't have a Marine's back. I would have a Marine's back in a heartbeat for all they've done for me. You know, but to think that now it's like, you know, but then when you have police officers that are afraid to, well, see, I'm afraid to do anything because that guy's black and I'm white and that's going to, you know, race wars. It's just ridiculous. I'm hesitating because I'm afraid to do anything because I don't want to sit there and, you know, he could have killed 35 people, but because I'm white and he's black, I'm going to be hung for it because I shouldn't have shot that guy because he's innocent. Yeah. Okay. That's the world we live in today, you know. But you can take a 22 long rifle, you can take a 45 caliber, you can take a 9mm, 10mm, you can take a 50 cal, you can take any, a 12 gauge shotgun, 10 gauge, it don't matter. They're still faster than 911, all of them. it's just sad, you know, I mean, just, I don't know, just one of those things, you know. Just remember, folks, you're not white, black, yellow, or brown, you're American. Start acting like it. You know, we need to start getting to the point where this, where these have some real news. Not that some of that stuff isn't great news and it's positive, but some of that stuff should be second nature. And I would also, as I move on, I'd like to wish Mickey Hart a happy 72nd birthday. Holy cow, he's getting up there in age. It's hard to believe. Now we're going to move on. Is there still a giant stigma to cannabis? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell it like this. Remember this, folks. Pot is legal for recreational use in only 4 states, Oregon, Alaska, Colorado, and Washington. But just know this, folks. Having recreational sex with a sheep is legal in 13 states. Great job, America. Seriously. It's nuts how this world is. You know, you can give a kid Oxycontin, but they can't have cannabis. There's been several stories recently where people have had their door busted in because they have the permits and everything to grow like the one or two plants for the medication, and they get their door busted in and everything and all this. It's just sad, you know. Because there is a big stigma around, you know, because, like, I use CBD oil. And I just tell people, because they're not going to understand what it is, and I don't want to explain it. So I say, yeah, it's an extract oil, like a, you ever heard of tea tree oil? Sort of like that. Helps, you know, because I just don't want to, you know, we just want to be normal. You know, I don't know. I guess that's the hardest thing for me. I don't know what it's like to be normal. I don't know what it's like to live without pain, or, you know, when it's hard to get out of bed every day, and just like, and I guess it's even harder when you have like someone like my dad that gets up at 6 a.m. and works till midnight and goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and here I am trying to, you know, get out of bed and, you know, we just want to be normal, because there's the norm out of the National Association for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And we are making great strides. And I try on a big front to educate. I always thought, well, you know, like in high school, they always said, like, well, one joint's the equivalent of, like, how many, like, a carton of unfiltered cigarettes or a pack of unfiltered or whatever. And I'm like, and I just, I remember the one time when they said, well, I remember Al Gore saying that, well, you know, this guy asked Al Gore, well, what about medical marijuana? And, well, we don't have enough studies and all this stuff, and he made all this bull crap. And I'm just like, well, two things popped into my head instantly. I'm like, okay, what about ethanol? Pound for pound, hemp produces more ethanol than any other substance on this planet. It makes a biodegradable plastic. It makes a more durable fiber. It can be turned into a hempcrete, into a wood with long fibers, and the 2x4s made of it would be stronger and all this. What about that? But, okay, we don't have enough evidence to showcase any benefit from it, but then you always told us that, oh, this is how can you tell me that one joint is the equivalent to this many unfiltered cigarettes if you tell me later that you don't have enough studies to justify anything good or bad about it. Well, we don't really know if it's beneficial. We don't have enough studies to prove anything about it. But then, well, 5 years ago when I was in high school, oh, it's so bad. Like, one joint's the equivalent to, you know, another. Because, and I really recommend my viewers check this book out. My Medicine by Irvin Rosenfeld. How I convinced the government to give me medical marijuana and start a revolution. And he's one of five people known to be in the program. I've talked about this book before, but all five of them that I don't know how many are still alive, but when they were all, at the last time I knew, when they were all still alive, they all have over 100% lung capacity. All of them do. Over 100% lung capacity. But they are using cannabis every day, unfiltered. We need to get past this stigma. The stigma that, okay, well, he's on all these highly controlled substance prescriptions, and that's okay, but giving him cannabis butter, just a tiny bit, taking a Hershey's Kiss and cutting it up into five pieces, and it's got cannabis in it. No, sorry, no. That's no, sorry. Where's Child Protective Services? All these prescriptions are great. All these thousands of prescriptions are great for post-traumatic stress disorder for the military, but cannabis, oh no, no. Arrest that man. He should be in prison. Pharmaceuticals are okay, but all this, oh, that's dangerous. The stigma has got to stop, folks. You know, if you think, I wish a person that's against cannabis could spend one day in my body and see what I go through every day. I mean, my wife is one of those people that she'll be like, cut the BS. No, how are you really? I know you're saying you're fine, but how are you really? I'm like, I just don't want to beep. You know, I just want to know how I feel. You know, but it all comes down to the almighty dollar. It really does. It really comes down to the almighty dollar. You know, well, look at the phone. Well, And it really does, because if you think back to the tobacco industry in the 50s, they knew it. They found that it caused cancer, and as soon as they realized that nicotine was addictive, they didn't say, okay, hey, we need to label it as addictive, and we need to no. They, how can we keep it? How can we? What can we add to it to make it more? How can we make the tobacco so that it gets you hooked faster and harder to quit? Because I guess they found ways to where, well, they could lower the nicotine level in it, but then it'd be easier for people to quit, and they didn't want that. You know, same thing. They didn't sit in the tobacco industry when they found out how addictive it was. They tried to make it more addictive. You know, same thing with these pharmaceutical companies. You know, I guess in the 80s, they tried to come up with a way to where you can vaporize medication. Why not vaporize nicotine so that you can a safer way to get it? But they thought it might be easier to quit and all this stuff, and they spent billions of dollars to try to stop it. You know, it's just sad when cops are busting down the doors of patients. And some of them, heck, I mean, there have been people that are quadriplegic that are put in jail and died because, oh, it's illegal. But then you have people like Chris Christie. I don't care, you know. He don't give a flying rats, whatever. He doesn't care. He's like most politicians. You could be on the floor dying, having convulsions, and they would probably help you if there was media around there to get political points. If you were out in the desert island stranded, they wouldn't help you. They'd just like to, you know, seizure to death. They don't care.
Oh, preach.
How? Because there's a guy that actually said that on a support Hillary page. He backed me up. He goes, "You pieces of crap need to realize that if you were on a deserted island with Hillary Clinton and you were having convulsions and dying of starvation, Hillary wouldn't lift a finger to help you. Neither would probably any other congressman. Maybe Ted Cruz would probably help you. But that's about it." And, you know, And that's where we're at, you know?
I think Ben Carson, like...
Oh, Ben Carson would in a heartbeat. But we got to tear down the walls, folks. And that's what I try to do. I try to educate people. Because even when I wear, like, my Cheech and Chong shirts, I still feel like, you know, like, I still have that kind of stigmatism in my head. Just from, like, the, okay, they're just assuming I'm some pothead stoner that just wants to get high when, okay... Because I actually got into it with some person. I said, well, then why does someone like me want to have it in an extract form to where I know what I'm getting? So I know I can, okay, if this CBD strain works for me and this THC strain works for me, I can have it in an extracted form and put together so that I get them just like you go to the pharmacy and get Tylenol or Tums or whatever. You don't pick up a bottle of Tums and go, I wonder if this is going to work this time. You know, the first time I got it worked okay, but the second time, they must have gotten the formula wrong or something. You want to know that, okay, every time you get a Sierra Mist, it tastes the same every time. You know, there's a formula. I mean, I was amazed when I went to Colorado how many of the people are not for the smoking of it. If you have medical ailments, they're more for the tenures, where it's like an oil where it's extracted, and you either rub it on your body where your pain is, or you take it orally, because it's more, they can really make it more perfect and more pure. So it's better, you know? I just think the whole stigmatism's, it's got to go, you know? Going to church doesn't make you a good person, just like smoking weed doesn't make you a bad person, you know? And I hope someday I can use my medication and, you know, and have it to get past the stigma. And I just think it's funny that, you know, that you can legally have sex in 13 countries, in 13 states with a sheep, but only 4 can have cannabis use. For all the September 11th, lovers, this is great news. Lightning strikes a mosque in Mecca, killing over 65 and 154 are injured after a crane collapses. You know, if that's not God working his magic, hey. I think it's just, you know, what do they call that? Like a eye for an eye. As we move on, folks, with a week off in the Premier League, wow, as we move into football, is that going to help Manchester United? I think what's going to help Manchester United is the fact that you've got a man by the name of Gabby De Gea. He's back. He's not going to Real Madrid, and I think he just wanted to step back from the team and say, if Real Madrid works out, and I go there, fine. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Because I don't want to be playing for you guys. And then I'd rather have you have someone come in and, you know, do what they're going to do. And if I go to Real Madrid, okay, you got him. And if not, you got a great backup for me. And now that it's worked out to where Real Madrid fell through and he's going to stay at Manchester United and he signed and everything, now he can focus on the team that he's going to be with. And I think the week off is good. We got Anthony Martial. He's a French striker. He's fairly young. He's 19. He was born in December 5th, 95. He joined the team this September 1st. I think he's going to be one that I think is going to be fun to watch because he's young and he's going to make mistakes. Oh yeah, trust me. But he's shown some promise. And a lot of the players on Manchester United, when you go and look at some of the team and some of the players, a lot of them have sat there and said, with the people we have on this roster, you know, when you look at someone like a Mata or a Memphis or a Rooney or a Carrick, Young, Daily Blend, a bunch of them have come forward and said, hey, you know what? With the people we have on this team, our fans deserve a lot better than fourth. And they really want to, and I really think that they're not going to be satisfied with anything but like a, you know, second, or they're really determined to actually turn the team around. And I love that. And you take like a Rojo or any of them, a lot of them have stated, hey, this is what our team wants. We're not going to settle for anything less than, you know, because, like, you shouldn't have me on the team if we get fourth. And I hope this time off, you know, I hope it's good, you know, I hope it helps. And I mean, they've got the team, you know, so they got the team. They just got to move forward and take the players and learn to play together and be as one. So, that being said, we're going to move on to, not many people know this, but September 18th starts in England, the Rugby World Cups. And I was there in 2007 in France for the World Cups. That was one of the greatest times of my life. I mean, when you're sitting there in a, in a grass field, and up against a building, they have a huge monitor, like six, you know, like two huge screens, and they're airing the game. And during one of the games, we gave a guy money, and somebody bought a bunch of baguettes, and somebody bought a bunch of cheese, and someone bought a bunch of bread, and we shared wine, and you know, there was, pick a language, and I'm sure someone was speaking it there, from French to German to Spanish to Italian to Asian, Korean, whatever, Chinese, and just watching the matches, and it was just incredible. And there's already huge controversy going into this, as the president of South African's rugby union, wrote an open letter for today that they wanted the people to wear a Springbok jersey this Friday to work, because they're talking about race issues, because 9 of the 31 players in the squad are non-white, and there are people that are saying, well, you know, there should be more, you know, non-white players, you know, that there's still, like, race is still a huge issue and all this, and my take on it is, if you're actually turning away great talent because he is not white, that's sad. And I don't think that's happening. I mean, they could be, because that's what the one guy said. I don't really see that happening. You know, if you have a great player that's black, we would take them in a heartbeat on the team. But there's still a lot of racial tension in South Africa and all that. And it's just, like the one guy said, he goes, I don't really see there's that much, you know, because they say there's an inequality. And it's like, well, you know, I would rather have a black person have my back if I'm a firefighter, if he's better than the white person. I'd rather have a black person on my rugby team if he's going to be better than this person or that person. You know, if you want the captain on the squad, should be the best on the team. That's how I look at it. And I guess it's one of the big stories going into the Rugby World Cups, and the U.S. is 15th ranked. So I don't think we'll make it out of the group stage. If we did, it'd be worth getting a pay-per-view, because I guess some of the games via DirecTV, and I think this is anywhere, some of the games are going to be on, like, Fox Sports. I don't know if it's Fox Sports 1 or if it's, like, the NBC Sports Network. I think it's NBC Sports Network. They're going to cover some of the games, and some of them are going to be pay-per-views. And if the U.S. can get out of the on group stage. I think it'd be cool to see that, but I don't see that realistically happening. But then again, you know, what happened in 95 in South Africa, you know, well, they don't even have us going past the group stage, the experts. Well, according to the experts, you and I should still be in jail, you know. So anything's possible. It's going to be good. I really think, like, South Africa has a good shot. So does New Zealand. There's always the All Blacks. It's just great to watch. And I every time I watch the game, I learn more and more about it because it's hard to follow in the States. But it's just fun to, because I learn more. And since it's hard to follow, I try to read up to find out what all the new rules are and stuff. And, okay, this is how they used to do this. Now they do that. But like they said, and it's true, they wear less padding than NFL players. But there's less injuries. Why? Because you get hit in the head when you're playing rugby. Okay, well, we got to do something else. Well, you know, these NFL players have this idea that they got this helmet, and it's like a guarantee they're never going to get hurt. You know, have them play with the old leather helmets, and I bet you there'd be less injuries because as soon as they got hit in the head one time, like, I got hit in the head. I ain't doing that again. We need to figure out how I can tackle him without doing that. And it'll correct itself. I mean, that's what, as I close with about 2.5 minutes left, that's what's wrong with this nation. Businesses are too big to fail. You're failing, but we're just going to keep giving you money to keep you going. You know, if you're going to fail. Let's get another car company in there and give them a shot. That's how I look at it. You know, if you can't make it as an airline, we'll find an airline that can make it. Plain and simple, you know, you can fail, you know, take them, you know, it's going to be a great World Cup for rugby, you know, but seriously, NFL players giving us, I think some of the batting hinders them, you know, I mean, I got about 90 seconds left, but this whole world's in double hypocrisy, you know, If Tom Brady deflated those balls and it's illegal, he should get in trouble. If deleting the emails, whatever Hillary Clinton did, punishable. If I would go to jail for it, then she should go to jail. Hey, plain and simple. But, you know, it's just how it is, you know. I mean, I don't know if this stuff in South Africa, because as they've talked about it, some people don't know if it's even real. Is there really that big of a racial divide? Well, you know, if it turned out that out of the 9 players that are not white, if that's all that, you know, if they could have had 50 players, if the whole team could have been black, all black players, you know, could that have happened? They don't know. Because when they've looked into it and they've talked, some people say it's not an issue. We had 9 people that were going out for the team or whatever. And out of all that, you know, we took the best. The team is made up of the best players, not by color, not by gender, so who knows. I think it's just publicity to get fired up for the Rugby World Cups. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Got about 10 seconds left, and thank you so much. God bless you, and until next week, have a great day. Good night, and goodbye.